This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
InshaAllah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Saturday sundown, that will be the end of Ayyam al-Tashriq, and the entire season of Hajj officially will be over. Now, what do the Hujjaj usually do in Ayyam al-Tashriq? First of all, I think we explain the meaning of Ayyam al-Tashriq, why they were called Tashriq. Because usually during that time, there are a lot of sacrifice. And back in the days, because they didn't have any facility where they can store that meat, it will go bad. So therefore, what they do, they cut that meat, and then they kind of like slice it, and then they expose it to the sun with salt. They expose it to the sun, so therefore kind of like to dry off. And that's what you call basic making jerky. So they keep it so you can actually, they can store it, and they can carry it with them as they travel as well too. This is, and because they used to face the meat towards the east, which is Sharq, so they call this Tashriq, like they expose the meat to the east or to the Sharq. Or the cutting itself is called Tashriq. Either way, this is why it was called Ayyam al-Tashriq, because the Hujjaj are just busy kind of preparing the meat and waiting for it to be ready so they can travel with it. It doesn't go bad. Now, that's not what the only thing they do there. What they also do is there are specific rituals and ibadat that they have to do. So all the Hujjaj are required to continue their Hajj right during those times. So if someone didn't make his tawaf, still need to do tawaf during that time. If someone delayed their sa'i, and they're required to do sa'i, then they have to do it that time. If someone has not yet, you know, shaved or whatever they're required to do of the rites of Hajj, they still need to do it during those days. They can't delay it more than that. They should do it during those days. And they're required, all of them, regardless of their situation, they're required to spend the night or most of the night, every single night of these ayyam, the days of Tashriq, in Mina. So the Eid day, which is the first day, of course, of the 10th of the Hijjah, at sundown, that will be the 11th night. And therefore, they're required to spend the night there in Mina. And at least most of the night. What do they do? Whatever they want to do. They can sleep, they can rest, they can do ibadah. Are they allowed to socialize? Are they allowed to talk, to go and visit each other in different camps? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's the whole purpose of Hajj. So that people get to know each other. They get to know different cultures. And subhanAllah, one of those beautiful things. Because when you walk around, it's one of those most ironic places where you see people from all over the world. Because once they remove their ihram and they put their clothes, most of them they put on, you know, their traditional garbs. And you can see the different colors, different designs, and different, you know, cultures. And it's just so beautiful to see Muslims from all around and just having the experience to talk to people from different places. Like I remember many times, subhanAllah, you were sitting down somewhere waiting to move into the next station, and then someone next to you, and out of nowhere he goes, "Where are you from?" And just like, "Where are you from?" Right? And then you get to know somebody from different parts of the world. And sometimes we hear countries we've never heard of before. SubhanAllah, so it's just a beautiful thing. So they are required to spend the night in Mina. The next day, their duty, at least they have one duty that they have to do. And that duty is to do Rami al-Jamarat. So they have to throw the pebbles or the stones at the three stations, seven each. And they have, there's the minor, there's the medium one, and there's the major one. So they begin from the minor one, and then they go to the medium, and then they go or to the middle one, then they go to the major one. So what do they do? Of course, they go, supposedly, when the numbers were reasonable and easy to control in that very small space, the sunnah is to do Rami al-Jamarat after the Zawal, which means after Dhuhr time, sometime between Dhuhr and Maghrib. But when you have 2+ million people coming in such a very small window, in a very small geographical location or spot, that they all had to be there, it becomes like an impossible logistical issue. So that's why the ulama, they say, look, we're going to expand the time frame. You can start from Fajr all the way until the end of the night. Any of those moments, you can still go and do your Jamarat. To avoid, of course, all the stampedes, unfortunately, we used to hear about in the past, Allah musta'an. So in this case, the Hujjaj, they go to the minor, and they have the seven pebbles with them. Where do they get these stones from? Anywhere. They can get it from the camp in Mina. But they shouldn't be getting it from close to the place where the Jamarat happens. Why? Because you don't want to use the same stones that was used in Ibadah by somebody else before you. So you get it from anywhere. And by the way, just some people, they get surprised because all these pebbles, all these stones that they throw in that thing, Where does it go? And people think it's a miraculous thing, like subhanallah, Allah azza wa jalla, yani ka make the earth swallow it and just disappear. No, habibi. They have huge machines like vacuums. They go and they suck all the stones actually out, and then they go disperse it somewhere else. Eventually, they collect 7. Now, do you have to wash them? Do you have to make dua, dhikr over them? Do you have to do any specific thing? The answer is no. Because I've seen some people, what they do, they have masha, they prepare a fancy, beautiful pouch they bring from home. Some of them may be silk even. And then they go and they collect these stones, 21 of them every day, obviously, because they have to do 7, 7, and 7. And they wash. I've seen people wash them with zamzam and put, mashallah, perfume and utar on them. Ya jama'ah, you're throwing out the shaitan if we say this for shaitan. You should be making it nice. But anyway, so eventually, people, they do these things. And there is no evidence, no proof, no need even to do that stuff. So you carry these stones with you. And then when you approach the jamarat, just give you an idea. In the past, Jamratul Aqaba was right on the side of a mountain. Like this whole area that you see used to be mountain area. And the Jamara was actually on the side of the mountain, attached to it. So some people used to, there are some pictures where people, you could come from above to throw their Jamarat. So in order to expand the space, they removed all these mountains. Like I remember when the mountains were still there. And now you go, subhanAllah, it's all flat in that area, completely. Remove the entire mountains to make, of course, space for those bridges that you see today. So the Hujjaj, they go at the first one. And then while they're throwing, they say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the reason for this is, subhanAllah, I mean, are they really throwing at the shaitan himself? The answer is no. It has nothing to do with the shaitan. We're doing this, this is a symbolic act that the Prophet himself, he did, and we follow his example. Why did the Prophet ﷺ do that? So the story says that it was the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as he was, of course, in that area. A shaitan came to kind of tempt Ibrahim alayhi salam, or tease Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he kept throwing those rocks at him in these different places, like he was chasing after him. So it happened to be in this place. So this is the story that goes actually all the way back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we're doing the same thing. But again, it's a symbolic thing. And subhanAllah, even psychologically today, if you read in books of psychology and self-development and so forth, they sometimes recommend for people to go, you know, have a physical action to get their, you know, all their worries out, yeah, in that fashion. Even nowadays, mashallah, you pay money to go to some of these special rooms, you call them rage rooms, where you just go, you put goggles and helmets, and then they give you china plates and or have some items in that place, and they give you a hammer and go smash as much as you want. If you're angry at your boss, you're angry at your spouse, whatever, just go smash wherever you want to go. Why? Because by the time you get out of it, just like, oh, it feels so good to smash things without any accountability. Now, it's not the same. But subhanAllah, when you do that, having in your mind that this is what the Prophet ﷺ practiced, and you say Allahu Akbar, and you throw at it, as if you're throwing all your worries, you're throwing all your sins, you're throwing everything, and you're just like asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve you. And just kind of like relieve you from this burden. And just throwing it symbolically, obviously. As if you're making this like a commitment. Like, Ya Allah, I want to throw this out of my life. And you keep throwing it out of your life. And then when you finish the 7, the Prophet ﷺ used to stand on the side, raising his hand towards the Kaaba and making dua. And then when he's done, he goes to the second one. And he does the exact same thing as well too. And then he goes on the side making dua. And when he's done, he goes to the major one. And he throws 7, and then he leaves to his camp, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nowadays, many people, unfortunately, they don't do the sunnah of dua anymore. Everybody is just about the check, you know, checklist. 7 done, 7 done, and go back to their camp. The spirituality of that event itself is gone. Like, I've seen people, they throw while they're running. Literally, they don't stop. Wallahi, I saw that. They run, and they throw while they're running. Finish from the first one, the second one, it's just like race between them and their friends, yeah. And they just keep going to the other side. And I've seen people, they don't even want to count. So what do? They have 7 in their hands, they throw all of them at once together. They just want to get over with it. They miss the whole point of following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi. So once you've done with the 3, alhamdulillah, then you're done with one of those major rites of the day of a tashriq. You go back to your camp. If you want to leave, you can leave. You go to Azaziyah. If you want to go to Mecca, you can go to Mecca. But you have to come back then and spend the night in Mina. So they do that for these 2 days, and then if they decided to stay an extra day, then they need to spend that extra night as well too. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, قَالْ وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. You remember Allah Azza wa Jal, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these few days, like numbered days. فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So whoever wants to rush in 2 days, it's okay. Those who want to stay for extra day, it's okay. So it's up to you. I remember I did both. Sometimes you do 2 days, sometimes you do 3 days. Subhanallah. I tell you what, if you stay that extra day, the scene in Mina is depressing. Literally. Like maybe 90% of the people, if not even 99% of the people, are gone. You walk in Mina, like it's like a ghost town. Everybody's gone. All what you see is just the leftover, the trash, the bags, this, that, subhanAllah. And wallahi, that was really something. I'm just like, subhanAllah, I felt so bad in that moment, just like, la ilaha illallah. How much people just want to rush and leave instead of saying, alhamdulillah, for an extra day. They just want to leave quickly. Why? Because it's a matter of just doing an obligation. And we mentioned that in the Tasil Durus, what Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned the Ihya, in which how, when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some people, they worship Allah azza wa jal out of fear. And because they're just doing it out of fear, what do they end up doing? The bare minimum. Whatever makes them overcome the fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's it. But other people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love. So when you worship Allah out of love, you go way and beyond. Because I'm not doing this just simply because, you know, I want to escape his punishment. I want to gain his pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want him to be pleased with me. So you go way and beyond. I was a true believer, balance between all of them. Between hope for his reward, fear of his punishment, and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the hujjaj are done with that, their hajj will be over, and they have to leave Mina, and they go to Mecca, getting ready to the final part of the hajj, which is basically going to be tawaf. We're going to talk about this, inshallah, tomorrow, binillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. But now, as we speak, the hujjaj are between these events, between going to Mecca, between staying in a hotel, or being in Mina. But the night they have to spend in Mina, and the day they do their jamarat, and then they stay there as well, connecting with one another, and getting to do dhikr, and ibadah, and ta'a, and networking with people, and enjoy the season of hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them safe, ya Rabbil Alameen, and bring them all home safely with hajj mabrur, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.